So I have a confession for you this morning. I hope it's not too heretical, and I certainly hope it's forgivable. But I have to admit to you, I'm not a fisherman. I know some of you in northern Florida, that's a big thing, so I'm not one, thank you. You know, I've fished about six times in my entire life, and most of them have been experiences in frustration. And one time it resulted in a terrible sunburn, so not my thing. But I've always been fascinated with how Jesus invites these initial disciples into being his disciple, into the Jesus way of life. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And so I've been praying about that this week and studying it and seeing what is the unique message in this way of asking people to enter into the Jesus way of life. Here's what I've come up with. First off, this phrase, "follow me and I will make you fish for people," tells us that the Jesus way of life, being his disciple, it's not about us. It's about God. And that we need to be careful if we come to church solely for our comfort and satisfaction. Now, this isn't entirely our fault. The kingdom of the world, the society out there, tells us that our core identity is as consumers. You know, we are what we buy or what we own. You know, think about this. Modern advertising, which has only gotten more better at itself in the last 50 years, tells us that we are incomplete unless we buy a certain product. And if you partner that with the invention of the credit card, which is only 50 years old, you know, our society is ingrained that we are what we buy, that we consume things. And so we hear often people come to church and they are church shopping, as if it's a product to be consumed or merely for one's satisfaction. But church is not meant to satisfy us. The life of God in church is meant to transform us. Now, I admit, I have stood up here and said to you before that I believe that the Jesus way of life, being Jesus' disciple, is the good life. It's the full life. It's the life worth living. And it is. But that's not based in getting simply what we want, but in becoming all that we truly are. And becoming all that we truly are is uniquely tied into God's mission in the world, which is God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. Rowan Williams, our previous Archbishop of Canterbury, once said that we are not the church of God with a mission. We worship the God of mission, and we are his church. And perhaps what expresses this very clearly is simply our word liturgy. Now, liturgy, we often think, refers to the fact that we have a worship service here on a Sunday morning or any day of the week, that the liturgy refers to what's going on right now. But the word liturgy comes from the Greek word liturgia. And in Jesus' day and age, liturgia was simply a secular word. It was something that was proclaimed by either the emperor in Rome, if it was a big liturgia, or perhaps maybe a local governor or some public congress or things like that. What a liturgia was an act of kindness or goodness for the society at large. So if a local common bath was built to improve hygiene in a certain area, or if a new aqueduct was built to bring fresh, clean water to farmers or to the city, these were acts of liturgia, an act done for the good of the entire society. And so rather than you and I simply coming to a liturgy, what happens is we come here on a Sunday morning and we are transformed and we become the liturgia. We become the body of Christ sent forth to be a blessing to the world around us. This service is not an end, it is a beginning. Now, there's language in our Eucharistic prayers and even our hymnals, our hymns, that point to this idea of mission and sacrifice and service. In fact, I just caught this before we got up here. The last line of the hymn we sang reads like this. The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. Or if we look at the closing prayer that we'll all say at the end of this Eucharist today, it says, and I turned to the wrong page. There we go. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, to love and to serve God. And perhaps in each one of our Eucharistic prayers, there is this language of mission, of kingdom of God, of being something bigger than ourselves. But prayer C says it like this. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. God is calling us this morning to join him in mission and to make real the kingdom of God on earth. And in partnering with God, we will not simply be satisfied, we will be transformed. So that's the first thing that that phrase hit me, follow me and I will make you fish for people. The second thing was so it may not be about us, but God's call to our lives will include all of us and everything we have, and it will be where we are. Remember, he's telling fishermen that they will fish for people. He didn't say to them, follow me and I will make you a great orator and you will stand in front of crowds and be magnificent, although that is what happened. He said, I'll make you fish for people. He's meeting them where they are and using what they have. It was simply a continuation of what they were good at. It was a part of their daily life. It was mundane, quotidian, and yet in partnering with Jesus, it became extraordinary. I have an older mentor friend of mine who is excellent at what he does. His business is competitive, and yet he is highly successful at it because the people he works with know that he's trustworthy, that he's honest, that he's dependable, he's efficient. He's successful because he manifests God's work in his daily life. And he told me once that right after college, he was discerning whether he should be a priest or a lawyer. And in conversations with his priest at the time, the priest finally said, you know, the world doesn't need any more priests. It needs more Jesus-following lawyers. And so that's the profession that this gentleman ultimately went into. He isn't in it anymore. But here's the point I will expand. The world needs Jesus-following lawyers, doctors, bakers, grocery store workers, garbage collectors, teachers. Whatever it is you do, Jesus invites you to partner with him to the proclamation of the kingdom in your daily life. Where you work, the people you spend your time with, that will be your mission field. That will be your opportunity to fish for people. And your everyday world will become miraculous because it will be partnered with and for the kingdom of God. But you see, this call to fish for people isn't simply an individual call. Well, that's something we can all do. It's also a corporate call. Jesus didn't say that you are the bodies of Christ. The church said that we are the body of Christ. So we come together as a church, as a diocese, as the Episcopal Church of America, and as the Anglican Communion to intentionally be a blessing to the world and to extend God's kingdom. Nationally, we do this through Episcopal Relief and Development, which is the justice arm of the Episcopal Church that seeks to be of service to the world. But locally here at St. John's, we do this by feeding the homeless at Sulzbacher monthly, by collecting food and other supplies for St. Mary's, by building homes for Habajacks, And by housing homeless families on their way to permanent housing through Family Promise. And my only wonder is, what else can we do? How can we come together as the body of Christ to continue to extend the kingdom of God here in Jacksonville and beyond? Finally, the thing I love about the phrase, follow me and I will make you fish for people, is that Jesus pursues us. You see, for a rabbi in Jesus' day and age, they were the elite of society. Rabbis sat around somewhere and they waited for potential disciples to come to them, and they would grant audiences or not, and once they'd grant an audience, then the potential disciple would be tested and tried and would maybe become a disciple or not. But Jesus doesn't wait for us to come to him. He didn't wait for the disciples to come to him. He went out and he invited them that day and invites us today to follow him to the kingdom life, to the life of mission, the life that is beyond ourselves, that leads to our true selves, the life that is made up of our current lives and yet more than this life. Yes, it's a life of sacrifice, and it's a life of ultimate joy. We are not the church of God with a mission. We worship the God of mission, and we are his church. Jesus is calling us. Let's follow him.